We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network. Let's talk Michigan football. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Michigan Football Radio Show. Over the next hour, we're discussing the latest around Wolverines football and hearing from players and coaches. Now, here's your host, John Jansen.
Well, it was a special night in the big house, a maze out in prime time. Over 108,000 Michigan faithful joined together to cheer on the Michigan Wolverines, but to also remember and honor those we lost 20 years ago on September 11, 2001. If you missed the halftime performance, I encourage you to go find it. The hardworking members and faculty of the Michigan Marching Band had a performance marking the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 that was absolutely spectacular. And it's certainly a must-see. Michigan has begun the season with two dominant victories, the latest over the Washington Huskies by a score of 31-10. The offense racked up 343 yards on the ground, bringing their two-week rushing total to 678 yards. Blake Corum rushed for 171 yards this past Saturday on 21 carries, reached the end zone three times. And Hassan Haskins added 155 yards on 27 carries and added one touchdown. The Wolverine defense allowed only one touchdown in a 10-point performance. And the defense produced four sacks, five more quarterback hits. Aiden Hutchinson accounted for 2.5 of the sacks, joined once by Taylor Upshaw, and David Ojabo provided the fourth. Senior linebacker Josh Ross was all over the Husky offense and led the defense with 11 tackles. All in all, they stifled the run game and the big offensive line they faced, allowing only 50 yards on 32 attempts for an average of only 1.6 yards per carry for the Husky offense. These are just a few of the highlights from Saturday's maze out in the big house. We're going to get to Coach Harbaugh's thoughts on those, as well as a look ahead to this Saturday's matchup as the Huskies come to town again, this time from Northern Illinois. Joining us a little bit later, we'll be joined by tight end Eric All, as well as position coach, we're coming up next, and special teams coordinator Jay Harbaugh. Lots to get to, so stay tuned. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, and this is the time that we're normally joined by head coach Jim Harbaugh, but we are now joined by the tight ends coach as well as special teams coordinator Jay Harbaugh. So we're coming to you with a Harbaugh. Coach is going to join us in just a little bit, but Jay, thanks for joining us, and I tell you what, the first 2 weeks, whether it's special teams, it's tight end production, offensive production, it's got to bring a smile to your face as one of the coaches.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been awesome. It's been a great first couple of weeks, and you know, if you're in our meetings, you would see and hear that, you know, while there's a lot of great things, there's also a lot of things that can be cleaned up and you know, more meat on the bone, as they say, of ways we can improve and get more out of some of these plays that we're running.
So I'm going to ask you about both of those, because from the tight end position, we saw Eric All be much more consistent with catching the ball this year. We've seen Luke Schoonmaker, Joel Honigford. I want to talk to you about him as well. But what, if, from your position group, what has been the best in these 2 weeks?
That's tough. I would just start with saying they're great, great guys who have a phenomenal approach from Sunday through Friday. Mm-hmm. I think it starts there. You know, Coach Moore did an amazing job recruiting those guys, developing them. So they're A++ in terms of their approach day in and day out. They make it really easy because of the fact that they've run all the plays that you can run. They know adjustments. There's not much that you can throw at them that's new. So that stands out, because when you reach that point, as any player would know or coach, you can really then go back to just the fundamentals and focus on having a phenomenal get off on the snap, a great first step, pad level. Like, those things are the building blocks of success. But a lot of times, if you're not really comfortable scheme-wise, those are the first things to go, right? So for them, I just think it's that comfort level with the offense, the system, what they're being asked to do, and then you're seeing them really take and apply their fundamentals, and they're having success with them.
So, Eric, as I mentioned, last year there were times where it just seemed like it was a struggle for him to focus on catching the ball. What's been different? What did you do this offseason to get him to where now he's one of the most reliable pass catchers?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say anything that I did in particular. Eric's an unbelievable hard worker. He'll do anything under the sun that can make him better. For him, as a young player, he's a guy who naturally plays fast. He plays every bit as fast as he would time, maybe even faster. Which is an amazing gift. There's a lot of guys who can't do that. For him to become the great player that he's going to be, it's been a process of learning to mentally, you know, play at a regular pace and not get ahead of himself. So I think sometimes in the past, when you're talking about catching a ball, if you're thinking about the move before the catch, or you're thinking, you know, one step ahead, when you really just need to be in the moment, looking at the football, catching the football, tucking it and running, I think when you get out of the present, that's where you'll have issues just executing something that you've done since you're a kid, catching the ball. So he's done a lot better job of that. He's worked really hard at it day in and day out in practice, and I'm thrilled for him to see it pay off.
And Luke Schoonmaker, one of the bigger tight ends that we've had come through with height and weight, his ability to move, what has he added to that room?
He's really taken advantage of the opportunity. He was always behind guys that were very good. I think everyone knew that this guy is going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's got it all from a physical standpoint. He looks like a Greek god.
Yes, he does.
And he can run, and he can block, and he can bend his ankles and knees. And, you know, he's put in the work over time, and he's really in a great place right now where he's extraordinarily well-rounded, I think unusually well-rounded. There's not a lot of guys out there that can do the variety of jobs he can do. And, you know, gives us the ability to pretty much run all of our stuff with him in line or off the ball. And it's been just a pleasure to watch him have success, because he's put so much into it and really kind of waited his turn. You know, he was developing. He wasn't maybe quite ready, but he's really stuck it out, continued to grind, continued to get better, and now he's in a great place.
You mentioned something early on in that answer there. He's able to bend his ankles and his knees. Mm-hmm. And everybody that, you know, when I talk about offensive line play, I say you got two guys. You got guys that are flexible that can bend, yeah. and they bend from the knees, they bend from the ankles, or you've got waist benders.
That's right.
For those who either haven't heard me or don't understand me, from a coach's perspective, the benefit and how can you tell that a guy is a good knee bender or ankle bender?
I mean, it starts in the evaluation process. You'd love to bring in guys who have the physical tools to be able to, you know, play with leverage and execute the techniques you want. It all starts there. Mm-hmm. If, like you said, guys who are waist benders, they're going to struggle to produce power. They're going to struggle to take the movements that they train in a weight room and translate them to the field, because all those movements you're bending at the knee and ankle, and if you're a waist bender on the field, whether it's because of tightness in your lower body or tightness in the thoracic spine, whatever it might be, you're not going to generate power offensively or defensively. Defensive guys, they're going to struggle to block, destruct. They're going to struggle to tackle. Just generally speaking, guys that can really bend their lower body, it's pretty unusual that they don't become good players, at mm-hmm. least in my observation.
And Joel Honickford, he's unique because yeah. a lot of times you see guys come in as tight ends, which I have that experience, and they move inside. They put on weight. They hit training table. They love it. They get in the weight room,
yep.
and all of a sudden you've got yourself a guard or a tackle. He was a guy that came in as an O-lineman and has dropped weight, has been able to make that transition from O-line to tight end. How do you identify a guy that you want to make that transition?
Well, that'd be a phenomenal question for the head coach. I think it was his idea, and you know, it was a phenomenal one. That Joel, we kind of worked him in spots, but he was still kind of a in-between guy who was an undersized lineman, but he definitely wasn't a tight end.
Yeah,
truly. In terms of what his body could do. And then he had some success. I think he really liked it. And then from that point on, it's all Joel. And it's phenomenal. It's a great story, and it's a great, I think, a great lesson for younger players, because he was given just a glimpse of light of, hey, this could be a role for you, and totally changed his body, completely, you know, mastered the playbook. Now he's playing with a lighter, quicker body, but he has the technique that he's trained for years as a lineman, mm-hmm. and he has an understanding of the run game, and all the guys get it, but it's a little bit deeper because he really has been inside and understands how the calls work, understands fronts even better than the other guys. So I'm hoping he can catch the ball at some point in the game, which would be pretty cool. That part has gone unnoticed thus far, but he catches the ball really well. Even the difference between spring and now is drastic, which is, it's pretty cool to observe. And again, just a great thing for young players to see, and also the power of just sticking to it, taking advantage of opportunities, and trusting, you know, the vision of the coaches. He's phenomenal. Love working with him.
One of the things I've noticed about your group is, one, their ability to, as you mentioned earlier, create leverage in the run game. And Michigan has been very successful in these first 2 weeks of running the football, but what creates those big runs is being able to get downfield and block.
That's right.
That's something I've seen from the receivers this year at a higher level than I've seen, but also from the tight ends. How important and how much do you guys work on your tight ends being able to get downfield, whether it's to pick up a linebacker or to cut off a safety, even if they're backside?
It's huge. Coach Gattis calls it style of play. That's the language that we use with you know, downfield blocking, or particularly maybe it's a really violent cut block, or just great hustle play. We refer to that as style of play. We want to have phenomenal style of play, and all those things fit into that category. We want guys to have fanatical effort to pursue the ball. Just understand that great things happen when you're around the ball. Mm-hmm. You might recover a fumble at some point. You know, Scooney had that one on the screen against Western where, you know, it was unclear if it was a fumble or not, but he just ran to the ball, scooped it up, and that, you know, was a really a big play in the game that kind of goes unnoticed just because it's awareness and a want to. And, you know, the receivers are doing a great job. And that's something that, as coaches, it's constantly being emphasized. And you want to match the intensity that Hassan and Blake carry the ball with. Those yeah. runs are not over until they're firmly planted on the ground, and they're usually will involve at least 4, 5, 6 defenders of the other team. Those types of guys, the way they carry it, they make you want to go harder to protect them and trust that the run's never over till it's over. Those guys can find their way out of all kinds of binds and tackles and all that stuff. So it becomes, to me, a belief thing where if you really believe in the guy that's carrying it, you believe in the play, then you're going to go harder and you're going to do everything you can possibly do to help that play.
And I do want to ask you a little bit more about that tight end position and your position group. We're going to take a quick break because we also want to talk special teams. You've got a very special player that we've seen a bunch of on special teams. And we'll get to all of that in just a few minutes. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. We're joined now by tight ends coach as well as special teams coordinator Jay Harbaugh. And Jay, you mentioned it earlier, the guys have a base of knowledge in working with Sherrone Moore, who's now the offensive line coach. The relationship that you have as a tight ends coach with the O-line coach, I got to believe that it's, and I witnessed it, it's one that you've got to be able to work together to create opportunities in the run game, opportunities in pass protection. How do you guys find that ability to continue to work together?
Yeah, we have a great relationship, both professionally and just as friends. He does an amazing job. He, like I mentioned before, he developed those guys, the room that I inherited, so well that it's made my life a lot easier. And the relationship between the two positions is huge because you're constantly working in tandem in the run game. A lot of times there's adjustments that come up, you know, on the fly or in the game, and you really need to know what the other side is doing and be able to be on the same page. Even if we're maybe not right about something, if we're on the same page, it can work out. So the players have a great relationship, and Coach Moore and I do as well, and we're grateful for each other and have a lot of fun going to work together.
As I mentioned, you're also a special teams coordinator now in your second year as a special teams coordinator. And in the very first game against Western Michigan, you guys had a blocked field goal. It was a 79-yard kick return, a 31-yard punt return. Last week we saw the fake punt. I mean, how often do you think, okay, well, I want to show this, but I also want to have something in my back pocket for games that are down the road?
I mean, we just kind of focus on whatever's best for that game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you do that and you do what's best for the game, you're going to show some good stuff and then understand that, you know, more good stuff is going to be able to – you're going to be able to spin off and develop new stuff. So we'll do whatever we need to do to win the game, whether it's, you know, a fake or a specific type of coverage or type of return. So we pride ourselves on being able to adapt to whatever the other team's strengths are, be able to try to take away their strengths, and the guys do a great job handling those things.
Now, we know that, obviously, Ronnie Bell was a part of that punt return team. He's no longer available, and we've seen Caden Colasar step in. Is he the one that has earned the right and continues to earn the right for that position? Are you going to try anybody else there, or is it Caden's, you know, job until further notice?
Yeah, we'll see who plays in the game. Caden had earned that job. He had practiced extremely well. He had some difficulties in the game, as everyone witnessed. But he's a guy who approaches everything the right way and had indeed earned that opportunity. There's other guys behind him that are getting better and are growing more capable. So we'll see going into the next game who ends up being the guy. But the main thing is you're looking to secure the football first. And if that's not being consistently done, just possessing the ball and making sure the offense is on the field the next play, then we'll need to adapt. So I won't say who it's going to be, no. and there's a whole week of practice leading up to that, but that's the priority.
One of the guys that has been unbelievable for this team in production so far has been Blake Corum. We've seen him run the football. We've seen him – I mean, two games over 100 yards on the ground. We've seen him catch the ball, and we've also seen him be very productive in the kick return game. Mm-hmm. How much do you look at that and say, you know what, I want to keep using him as much as possible, but there's also a workload. How do you manage the workload amongst all those different responsibilities and things that Blake can do?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. He's a workhorse to begin with. The guy has tremendous conditioning. He takes a lot of pride in his conditioning, and he can go I mean, forever. The guy practices like a maniac, and it gives him the capacity to be able to go really hard for a really long time in games. That being said, you know, it's all about winning the game, and we'll do what we believe is in the best interest of winning the game. And with a guy like that, because he's so valuable to the team, yeah, there's certain times where you have to tell him, hey, yeah, you know, you're not going here, or, you know, he's a guy, he'd love to be on punt as a gunner. You know, he'd love to be on kickoff.
I'd love to see that speed out there.
He last year he was darn near unblockable, and you know, you got to manage it for him a little bit, because he'll do anything. I mean, he'll sell out for the team, and that's the kind of effort you want. And we're getting it from more guys than just him. I mean, Hassan is the same way. Guys like Jabo, you know, demanding to be on kickoff. Brad Hawkins, Dax Sill were on kickoff last week. You know, it's a great culture and a great team first mentality of these guys, that they want to find a way in, or find a way to help, rather than looking for ways out or looking for plays off. So Blake's a great example of that, and we'll continue to work to find the balance between winning games and making sure that we have him down the stretch as well.
One of your other players, Jake Moody. Now, I was standing underneath the goalpost when he hit his 52-yarder, and I swear it had been good from 65. What's his range?
It's far. It's far. We had a little bit of wind at our back, but
I don't care. Everybody says that. It doesn't matter.
That thing was moving. He said, I think Moody might have said it would have been good from 70.
And of course,
it was a phenomenal kick. Yeah. And you know, he's a guy who amazing just process-wise. He does a great job day in and day out. And the rest of the operation, Wags and Brad Robbins, they just have a great connection right now. They're in sync together. They work hard together. And it's just happy to see guys like that have success.
Well, Jay, I appreciate your time. Jay Harbaugh, the tight ends coach, special teams coordinator, and best of luck as you prepare for Northern Illinois.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
We'll be back with head coach Jim Harbaugh in just a few moments. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Now joined by the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, that's Jim Harbaugh. Coach, thanks for joining us. How enjoyable was that game on Saturday night? The atmosphere, everything that surrounded it, all of the maze, and then your team's performance.
I thought it was a outstanding job by everybody in the organization. I mean, the University of Michigan, you know, everybody, it starts at the top down with President Schlissel, but, you know, the culture created, I mean, it was on full display. The band, the players, the coaches, the maze out. I mean, it was a spectacular show. Mm-hmm. And just super, how'd I feel? Super proud. Super proud to be a Michigan Wolverine. It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine.
Yes, it is. And I want to ask you this, because I've heard since Saturday night so many people ask this question or wonder what was going on. You ran the ball for 343 yards. You only threw 15 passes. Why not throw the ball more?
Well, you and I were just discussing, and you know, at the press conference today, I mean, people can understand that people travel by different means. Some on the ground, some through the air. George S. Patton, very effective in his job on the ground. Neil Armstrong through the air were both able to accomplish their mission. And this past Saturday night, we chose to grind and grind some meat and go on the ground attack.
And you mentioned something too. It's not your job to stop yourself. I mean, it's if something's working, you just keep doing it. And when you watch the film and you look at the way the offensive line blocked, you look at the way that Hassan Haskins ran, that Blake Corum ran. You know, what was your evaluation, not just after the game, but after you saw it on film?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. I mean, it's a very, very old adage, but a good one. I mean, you take what the defense has given you, and until they stop something, you're gonna keep doing it. And that's a lot of times, I'm sure your opponent would hope that you would do something else that's not effective. But why would you do that? Immediately you go to the offensive line and go, okay, that offensive line was really playing physical and they were, and what gets left out is the tight ends, the way they were blocking in combination with the tackles, the way they were inserting, the way they were slicing back. I mean, Eric All had hits that you could hear, so did Joel Honingford, Luke Schoonmaker. It was a tremendous effort, by that front. Anybody that was blocking in that front nine, so it was very impressive. And the same with the defense. I mean, thing we're all so proud of is just how hard the guys played. How physical they were. Josh Ross, nobody more than Josh Ross. He was like a missile. When you snapped on the tape and watched, from the very first play, which was an epic play. He shoots the gap. Mike Morris is squeezing from the edge. The fullback tries to cut him. He lays his body out, was able to stop the feet of the running back, and then here comes Josh Ross like a missile. Really set the tone in the football game right off the bat.
You mentioned Josh Ross because he led the team with 11 tackles. He had three hits on the quarterback. And it just seems like as this season – now, we're only two games into it, but his feel for this defense and the way Coach McDonald has designed it, it really benefits his style of play.
Well, he's a tremendous football player. He's prepared himself. There's nobody that is better prepared for – than him going into the football game. And he'd be good in whatever defense would be in, Josh. But John, but he's doing a heck of a job. Aiden Hutchinson was, again, really almost impossible to block. It took combinations of two to try to get him slowed down. The tackle and the back in combination, or the tight end and the tackle in combination, or the tight end and the back in combination. There was, they're really trying all things to get him slowed down. But still got to the quarterback, still got sacks, still applied pressure. And then David Ajabo had a heck of a game. He really played well. He was right there. If you're going to make who was the third most dominant guy in the game, he'd be tied with Mozzie Smith. Mozzie had a heck of a ball game as well.
Who were the players of the game on defense?
Josh Ross and Aiden Hutchinson.
Okay. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the tight ends and the way that they were blocking. I asked Jay this earlier, and he said it's a better question to ask the head coach, so I'm going to ask you, what was it that you saw in Joel Honingford to make that transition from offensive line to tight end? Because so many times you see guys come in as tight ends and they're good athletes. You put a little bit of weight out of them. Now all of a sudden they're a really good tackle or they're a guard.
Yeah,
you don't often see it go the other way. What was it that you saw in Joel that said, I'd like to see this guy as a tight end?
He was a very effective blocker. He was and he was a backup. He was a backup tackle, and he'd go in and do a good job. And then, I just remembered back when he was in high school. He was a basketball player. He's an athletic guy. You know, one of our most athletic linemen. And yeah, just, you know, just kind of saw it and, you know, suggested it last year, and we started working him in there, a little bit. And he was effective. He was, and I think he saw that he could be effective. Mm-hmm. And then when the off season came, you know, he really dedicated himself to, you know, hey, fat's the enemy of speed. So let's, you know, he was trimming down. I think he liked the way he was moving. I liked the way he was moving. And then he trimmed down some more and was maintaining his strength, and then getting into spring ball and going, yeah, this is a, you know, yeah, Eric All's a heck of a blocker, and so is Schoonmaker. And like, look at this, you know, Joel Honingford. I mean, he was having some of the really big hits, big blocks when we were in spring practice. Then he went through the summer and, you know, he was working an engineering job and training early in the morning, and, you know, looking better. I think he felt better, looked better. I mean, it was just, you know, more of his, instead of trying to, you know, pack weight on and, mm-hmm. you know, just overall just felt better to him, and he liked it. And we sure have liked the results as well.
This is the first time, I know we saw Zach Zinter for a couple of series in the first game, but he lined up as a starting right guard this past weekend against Washington, had the big club on his hand.
Yeah.
A guy that is willing to play with an injury like that, a guy that's willing to make that sacrifice. And then, you know, first of all, what does that mean? What type of example does that set for the team? And also, what was it like finally having him in there? I mean, he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, he had a terrific game, John. He really did. You know, he was pulling. He had some great double team blocks with Vastardis and with Andrew Stuber, and you know, it didn't look like he had, you know, a club on. Unless you could see it at times, but you know, when he first. Had a little bone broken in there and did a surgery. You know, doctors and trainers were saying it's probably about a three to four week injury, and, you know, good chance he could be back for the Western game. And we just wanted to, let's just dip the toe in the water here. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely have to know for sure that he cannot make that worse. And, you know, being assured from the hand surgeon and the doctors and trainers that if he was in the club, it would not make him worse. And that's where we put him in as an extra offensive lineman playing tight end. In the Western game, he was playing tight end. And so he got some reps and got some, you know, how'd it feel, and you know, look at the x-rays and things. And it was good. So, you know, went full-time and started at right guard and did a heck of a job.
You look at the wide receiver position, and Cornelius Johnson had that one really nice back shoulder catch that he made for 33 yards. Blake continues to be used in the passing game. And I know there wasn't a need for much production in the passing game, but who is it that over practice or in the game last week that you've seen really step up and, you know, take the reins and say, you know what, I want to fill that gap that was left by Ronnie Bell?
Yeah, that's been Cornelius Johnson, Mike Sandrasil, Roman Wilson is now he's physically taking Ronnie's spot as a starting Z, and then other guys are Dalen Baldwin in the mix. Saw him do you know, he had a big catch in the Western Michigan game, and AJ Henning. I'm very high on Andrell Anthony as he continues to develop, and Christian Dixon now seeing flashes that he's gonna be ready to play and doing some really good things in practice. So you know, that's the group we've always, you know, felt we're as deep as we've been at wide receiver in quite a while, and so those are the guys.
We'll get a chance to talk a little bit more defense on the other side of the break. We'll be back with another segment with Coach Harbaugh. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Well, Coach, I do want to talk a little bit more defense here in a minute, but as Dave Abloff just stepped in here to let us know some of the important statistics in regards to special teams, your special teams are in the top 15 in five different categories. And we saw in the first game there was a blocked field goal, a 76-yard kick return. We've seen big returns in the punt game. Mm-hmm. We've seen a fake punt. How big has this special team unit been to your team so far this year?
Well, so far it's been really solid. And that's – we also understand that there's a lot of ways we can get better too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of the same theme for the entire team. And we're not going to fall in love with our stuff because you can always get better. But, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's been big returns, there's been blocks, there's been made field goals. I mean, all those things that lead to points on the board. I mean, the one I study, you know, that's the important one is, like, to me is drive start. Mm-hmm. I mean, it encompasses everything: punt return, kickoff coverage, punt coverage, and it's been identical the first two games. Western Michigan was starting on the 24-yard line. We started on the 31. Mm-hmm. Each drive, 11 drives. And in the Washington game, Washington started on the 23. We started on the 30. So each game, and each game had 11 possessions. You know, that's 77 yards of hidden yardage that never shows up on the stat sheet, but it's there. Those are real yards and you know, affects the game. So, you know, you know, opponent to opponent, game by game, you know, that's to me a big one to look at.
You lined up early in the game for a 52-yard field goal. And I was mentioning to Jay, I was standing underneath the goalposts when Jake Moody kicked that 52-yarder, and I swear it would have been good from 65. Mm-hmm. How much confidence does that get you just when you get on the other side of the field that you believe you've got points on the board?
Yeah, that's huge. Jake's been kicking great in practice, and the whole mechanic, the whole battery. Man, look at that as the snapper, the holder, mm-hmm. the kicker. I mean, two out of three of those gotta go well for give yourself a chance to have the successful kick. And you know, really, all three have been great precision. So yeah, we have a lot of confidence that he's gonna put the ball through the upright.
And the advantage that Brad Robbins gives you in regards to his experience, his placement, but the consistency with which he kicks. I know there was one that kind of went off the side of his foot, but for the most part, you talk about drive starting position, you know, average, you know, field position to start a drive. That's got to give you a huge advantage as well.
He's been fantastic. You know, his enthusiasm and energy for the team is off the charts, and he brings that, carries that same mentality to when he holds. It's all about the team and his contribution to the team. And I mean, he has developed into one of the top leaders on our team as well. His mindset is so rock solid. And And he's trained himself. You know, he's got a lot of confidence, and as I said, he's a great team player.
And in the first game, defense allowed 14 points. Both of those drives were extended by either a penalty or – well, both were penalties, and that's what ended up leading to scoring drives. In this last game, only 10 points. And we go back and forth about, you know, how good the defense looked. Aiden Hutchinson with 2.5 sacks, 4 sacks. More quarterback hits, the secondary. We talk so much about the positive. What is it that you want to see this defense continue to improve upon? Sometimes it's hard for, you know, an average fan to say, you know, oh, I want the secondary to do this or the linebackers to do this. When you look at this team, what could the defense possibly do better when they hold a team to 50 yards rushing and only 10 points?
Yeah, so like I said, I mean, the thing that, I mean, everybody is the proudest of and happy with is you know, the way we're how hard we're playing. I mean, playing hard, running to the ball, playing physical. Yeah, what can be improved? there's some communication things that can be improved, and you know, particularly in our split safety coverages. You know, that's something that's new to our team, and but you know, it's been effective for us, and you know, we had a few times where you know, we can play that coverage better and communicate better and have everybody in the right spots doing the right responsibility, but other things. I mean, nobody plays the perfect game, and you know, it's, you strive to, but you never do, and you know, you keep chasing that excellence. So yeah, we're in it. There's a lot of things that we like and can be built on and can be better. So we're going to keep chasing those things.
Do you see that anticipation that Mike McDonald has had? You mentioned it in the first game. He's calling out things before they happen. And I got to believe, when I see Aiden Hutchinson on a fourth down come ripping off the edge and force a fumble, a lot of those things have to be anticipated, coached up. Is it translating to the players from Coach McDonald?
Yeah, I've been super, super impressed with Coach McDonald. He's an outstanding coach, and players respond to him. They listen to him, and there's a tremendous energy that's translating from him, the other coaches on the defensive side of the ball, the players, you know, and yeah, it's really good, John. Yeah, but you know, gotta prove it every week, and we're back to work. And what I like to see too is, you know, just as a whole team, I mean, it's, yeah, let's get back to work. It's Monday,
yeah.
You know, and the enthusiasm they went on the practice field with today. Hey, let's make darn sure that this, you know, we have the same feeling and play really well and you know, handle the mission this coming Saturday as well.
Well, Coach, appreciate your time, and best of luck as you prepare for Northern Illinois.
Thank you.
We'll be back with the birthday boy, Eric Aull, tight end for the University of Michigan. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Well, we don't want to lose any listeners, so I won't sing happy birthday, but I will say happy birthday to our next guest. That's junior tight end Eric Aull. And happy birthday, and what number is this one for you?
Thank you, and 21. I turned 21 today.
It's the all-important 21. Yes, what's on the schedule for tonight? What's the birthday celebration?
Watch a little film and go to sleep.
That's a terrific answer. Coach Harbaugh, you can turn your radio off now. We'll discuss what's really going to happen later. But all seriousness, though, this season for you, what is it that you are – what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? You had three catches in the first game. There weren't a lot of passes thrown in the second game, but you're such a vital part of the run game. What is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish this year as an individual?
Pancake a lot of people.
He's got really all the right answers.
That's really, like, to be honest, that's really like the most important thing that I want to focus on this season, is getting my mind right before games, during games, and be physical, drive a lot of people downfield.
So what'd you see when you turned on the film then this past weekend? Because 343 yards rushing, that's not just the offensive line. A large part of that is the tight ends as well, whether it's setting the edge, whether it's working with your tackle. What did you see when you turned on the film and watched the performance?
I saw a lot of meat left on the bone, like I was talking about. I thought that I need to work on my hand placement a little more and just drive my feet. I'm too focused on, like, getting the first nice little lick in there before setting the hands and driving. But really, just what I seen was a lot of physicality and a lot of meat left on the bone to work on.
The uniqueness of your position, of being that guy that loves to pancake guys, but also you got to be a pass catcher. You know, we talked about it in the offseason. Last year there were a few drops. This year you haven't had those. What's been different for you? Is there anything you worked on in the offseason just in regards to concentrating on the ball?
I feel like last year when it came to me dropping the ball, I feel like I was thinking too much, like before the play or like, oh, this ball's coming to me, like I gotta catch it. Mm-hmm. And like now this year, I'm just focusing on like not worrying about myself, worrying about like the team, and worrying about like scoring and worrying about beating the opponent instead of just worrying about what I have to do or what I can't do to make the team better. So yeah.
Well, Eric, I appreciate your time. I won't keep you too long. I know you got a birthday celebration and birthday film to get to, so yeah. Enjoy it, and yeah. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Inside Michigan Football. If you missed any of tonight's show, check out the replay on MGoBlue Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.